Let's talk about resume writing. I am going to give you our top 10 pieces of terrible resume advice so that you could know what not to do as you're writing your resume. And that will then give you clarity on what to do so that you can create the best resume possible. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the People Stack podcast, where I share insights on how to upgrade your career as a technical leader. I'm Jen Funk. I am a career coach and co-CEO of the People Stack, along with my husband, Rob Allen. If you'd like to find out more about what we do here at the People Stack, please check out our free training at training.thepeoplestack.com. You're going to learn the four strategic and mindset shifts that our clients have used to command 300, 400, 500K plus salaries as tech leaders while living lives of abundance, freedom, and joy. And now, without further ado, please enjoy today's episode.
All right. So it is very rare that we focus on something so specific as like resume writing, but that's what we're going to do today because I know that many of you who are listening are either in the process of wanting to revamp your resume because you're on the job market, or you know you might be on the job market sometime in the future, or you know that, you know, hey, maybe you love your job right now but it's like, you know what? I want to keep my resume up to date. So a resume, it really is, it's an ongoing thing. You want to keep your resume up to date. So whether or not you're on the job market right now and there's like you're feeling some real urgency to update your resume, I know that you're going to get value out of this because I'm going to share our top 10 pieces of terrible resume advice. So Rob and I just had a fun brainstorming session where we thought about, all right, what are the pieces of resume advice that we've heard that are honestly just terrible? And I'm going to explain why they're terrible. And these are actual things that either we've heard people tell others either directly or indirectly. Oh, someone told me to do this to bulk up my resume. Or it's things that we've seen online. So there's online communities, I'm sure that some of you may even be members of them, where you can like submit your resume, vet my resume, that kind of thing, and have, you know, maybe it's resume writers, but maybe it's well-meaning friends, colleagues, have to take a look at them. And so I'm going to point out the bad advice, but even more importantly for each of them, I'm going to point out why it's bad advice so that you can then change your strategy here. Every single one of these is terrible advice because the strategy underneath it is just going to lead to failure, or it shows some sort of kink in the armor, right? That if you follow any of these tactics, these bad advice, almost all of these pieces of bad advice are around tactical things to change or add in your resume, that if you take a look underneath it, the strategy is just building a house of cards, and the strategy is just kind of wonky. So anyway, let me just start diving in. All right, it's sort of like less explaining, more showing. All right, number one, ask 10 people your strengths. How do I know? How do I bulk up my resume? How do I know what to put in there? How do I, you know what skills and outcomes and actions to highlight in my resume? Ask 10 people, what are my strengths? This is where this actually began. We've heard several people, and I actually have people on my Facebook page and my Facebook thing now saying, hey, I've been challenged to ask you, what are my strengths? So it's going around, it's in the water, not sure what it is. It's terrible advice. This tactic is terrible advice because what's the strategy underneath it? The strategy underneath it is that I don't know what my strengths are. And I'm going to delegate that to other people. I'm going to have other people tell me who I am. No. You can have other people confirm who you know you already are. But if you're wanting to decide what are your strengths, ask yourself first, what are my strengths? Who am I? And also, for a resume, strengths aren't necessarily as important as your mission and your vision and the outcomes that you deliver to show that you are not just talking the talk, you're walking the walk. I'm going to say that again because it's super important. For the purpose of a resume, strength and skills are less important than your mission, your vision, and your ability to demonstrate that you are delivering outcomes in line with that mission and that vision. You're not just talking the talk, you're walking the walk. So there's two reasons why asking 10 people for your strengths is bad advice. You don't need to focus on your strengths for your resume. You focus on outcomes, you focus on results. And number two, don't ask other people who you are. You know who you are. Do that internal work to determine who you are. All right, number two, fill it with keywords. Make sure you have the right keywords in your resume. Again, this is tactical advice. And if you're just like, oh my God, I don't know what to do, and you want to get lost in the weeds, this is the perfect way to get lost in the weeds. Yeah, right, yeah. And it's easy too. It's like fill it with keywords. Keyword match, right? Take a look at the job ad. What are the keywords that are in the job ad? And make sure that the keywords that are in your job ad are actually in your resume. No. And also this increase the idea being that it would increase the chances that a robot, that the applicant tracking systems would pick it up. So two reasons again why this tactic, if we unearth it and do a little bit of digging, reveals actually a very poor strategy that's not going to lead to success. Number one is that you're not out there to show them. I want to phrase this. This is a nuanced thing, and I want to phrase it properly. You decide what you want. This is my hell yes job. And you show them, this is who I am. You're not out there to say, please, 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 please hire me. Look, my resume is filled with all of the keywords that are in your thing. Like, when you're doing that, you're sending out that energy of please, please, please hire me. No, it's like, I'm a badass leader. This is who I am. If you want to hire me, give me a call. That's the energy that we want from the resume. And then the second reason is, you know, around the applicant tracking piece of it, we don't want robots making decisions about our careers. Why would you leave applicant tracking systems to decide on your career? You don't. So it reveals that you're not networking. If you're so worried about applicant tracking systems, that means deep down, either you're scared or you're just avoiding the real work that it requires to land a new job, which is networking and having real conversations with humans. And we say this with love to our clients many times. When you follow our system for landing your hell yes job, applicant tracking systems are not even a thing. Because it's humans you're interacting with, not algorithms or robots. Number three, bad advice. Hire a resume writer. Now, I'm going to put an asterisk next to this because resume writers can be helpful. We help our clients write resumes. That's part of the work that we do with every single one of our clients, regardless of if they're on the job market or not. It's that important. It's actually why we're talking about it. So I'm not going to say that hiring a resume writer full stop is bad advice. But if you are not clear what you want and what your hell yes job is, then hiring a resume writer is bad advice, because then essentially you're delegating your career decision making and your mission building to that resume writer. You're basically saying, I don't know what I want, so just write my resume. And so then it's up to them to build, and they're going to ask you some questions. A good resume writer is going to ask you some questions. They may even tell you to ask 10 people what your strengths are. Again, you're delegating this important decision-making to other people because you're avoiding, you're scared of, you don't want to do the sometimes uncomfortable self-analysis work of what do I really want? Who am I really? What is my mission? What is my vision? What is the impact that I've made? You're delegating that to other people. So if you are not clear on what you want, who you are, why you're such an amazing, badass technical leader, do not hire a resume writer. Number four. Four and five are related to one another, so we'll do them both together. So number four is anyone who might encourage excessive storytelling. Make sure you have this whole paragraph and get into all of the details about what you did in that project. That's terrible advice. Also terrible advice is anyone who encourages you to do not enough storytelling. We actually saw this in a sort of a resume writing online community where someone said, make sure every bullet point is a one-liner. Make them concise as possible. One line for every bullet point. Sometimes we need two or three lines for a bullet point, right? So it's like, make sure that you are the what to do. So what you want to avoid is excessive storytelling or not enough storytelling. What you want to do is just the right amount of storytelling. It's like that Goldilocks zone. It's like not too much, not too little. You do want to build a context. You do want to build the story of you as a badass tech leader. You want to do that, but you don't want to do it so much that people are going to get lost when they're reading it. Number six, change the font. I don't like the font. Or similar kinds of in the weeds formatting kind of feedback. Right? Like, oh, I think you should add an extra space there, or, you know, stuff like that. Like, when people are giving you that kind of advice, especially early on in the resume writing process, and actually, I don't think I've ever told a client to change the font, especially because we give templates and things like that. So it's easy for our clients to get that stuff right because we offer, just use this as a template and change the words kind of thing. But if you give your resume to anyone and among their first feedback is change the font, run away, run far away, thank them, and then run far away and, do the work on your own or find someone who's actually an expert to help you with this because they're not thinking big enough. They're not thinking broad enough. You need to think big and broad for your resume. It is going to totally derail your chances of creating a badass resume if you're over-focusing on things like the font and the font size and like the formatting of it. It's like pick a template, go with it, right? Like make it easy. It should take up like literally 1% of your brain power, like choosing the font and the formatting for your resume. That's like the least important thing. Yes, it does need to look professional. Of course, that's obvious. But beyond that, what's more important is what the words say. And the energy and the power and the confidence and the results behind the words. And yes, a little bit of storytelling as well. So change the font is terrible, terrible resume advice.
Thanks for giving me this quick moment for our sponsor, Coverage Cat. We're very intentional about who we allow to sponsor the People Stack podcast. And when I connected with the folks at Coverage Cat, I quickly learned that they are an excellent fit as a sponsor. If you live in Washington, California, Texas, New York, or Florida, Coverage Cat is a free concierge service that will help you find the best price and coverage for your umbrella, car, home, and renter's insurance. And yes, loyal tech leader audience, we know that most of you need insurance, whether it's umbrella or other insurance to protect your wealth. We know how annoying dealing with insurance companies can be, so we love how Coverage Cat is making this process super easy. Fill out one form, and they compare across dozens of carriers to find you the best coverage and price while you skip the spam and sales calls. Get your free optimized insurance quote today at coveragecat.com.
Number seven. Oh, this is related to formatting and stuff. Make sure you optimize the formatting for applicant tracking systems. For the same reasons I just said, and also for the same reasons when I was talking about the fill it with keywords. Because when you do this right, and when you do it well, you don't have to worry about applicant tracking systems or robots or any of that. Because you're interacting with humans. You don't want to optimize your resume for an applicant tracking system or an algorithm. You want to optimize your resume for a human to read it. Because when you do this right, you're interacting with humans. There's no virtual pile that it can get lost in. And also, when you do this right, by the way, your resume is a bit of an afterthought. It's required. In this day and age, it's still required. We still have yet to hear tell of someone going on the job market where a resume isn't required. Although there may be a point in the future. We'll see. But you're having conversations, you're networking, you're talking with people. And it's like, oh yeah, cool, let's get him in for an interview. Oh, by the way, let's make sure that he submits his resume to HR. That's the way that it happens a lot of times, and I want to even say most times with our clients, where it's kind of like an afterthought. It's not, I submit my resume and I cross my fingers and I say, oh, I hope I get the job. It's, you have the conversations and you network and you move the conversations forward, and then, oh, by the way, Sally over in HR needs your resume. Right? You still need it. It still needs to look good. And it's like the cherry on top. It's not the cake. The cake, you know, the eggs and the flour and the sugar of being on the job market is having those conversations with real humans. So do not focus on formatting and optimizing the formatting for applicant tracking systems. Optimize the formatting for a human to read it and to read it easily. Number eight, insert a skills block. We actually saw this again on one of the resume communities. Someone is so passionate about this in the particular resume community that they're copy-pasting it to every single one. Make sure you insert a skills block. You know what I'm talking about. It's like a columns of here's my skills. You know what? It might take up a half a page, a third of a page. Here's a list. Here's some bullet points in column format, maybe two or three columns, of all my skills. You are a badass technical leader with years of experience. And you want to upgrade your career as a technical leader. That's why you're listening. I want to be the one to break it to you. Your skills don't matter. They don't. What matters is your ability to show up every day, or at least most days, as a powerful, confident technical leader who is able to inspire your team and everyone who works with you to create amazing outcomes and to feel fulfilled and to have fun and to stay in integrity throughout the process. That's why people want to hire you. Not because you know Microsoft Word. I swear, I have seen clients have sent us resumes with these skills blocks with Microsoft Word in them. Now, that's a bit extreme, but it also, your coding, like the coding certifications that you have, the security certifications that you have, or other kind of skills in very particular, often involving acronym kind of tech, do not matter. Do not take up precious real estate on your resume by filling it with a skills block. Do not do it. And if it's like, oh, but, you know, the job that I'm hiring for, or the job that I want, it says I need all these skills. Check in. Is that actually the job that you want? Or are you just willing to settle for it because you want something, anything right now? Most of the people that we work with don't want to get in the weeds anymore. You want to lead. So if you see a job ad that says, you know, it requires this certification and this skill and this skill and this skill and this skill and that skill, yeah, scratch your head and say, is this a leadership position? Like, is this truly a leadership position? Or are they just hiring someone who's an individual contributor or a higher level individual contributor? Now, if you want to go after a higher level individual contributor role, there may be, asterisk room for talking about your skills, but not in a skills block, in the bullet points of your resume itself. But for most of you, you want to lead. You don't want to be in the weeds anymore. So again, this is pointing out it's like the energy of being on the job market, and your resume is going to reflect that, is I am a badass, powerful, technical leader. This is what I'm capable of, and this is the job I want, because this is what I've been doing in the past, and here's how I want to up-level and create even more of an impact. Here you go. Am I a fit? Versus, oh, please, 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 like that desperation of, there's this job. Oh my God, I hope they'll hire me. I will do everything that I can. Yes, 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 yes. It's like you're being a yes woman or a yes man. They don't want a yes woman or a yes man. They want someone who can tell truth to power. And telling truth to power means, you know what? This is me. Not in a cocky way, in a confident, assertive way. So we want to approach this from a place of confidence and assertiveness, not from a place of desperation. And inserting a skills block screams desperation, especially for a seasoned technical leader. Putting a pin in that phrase, by the way. We'll get back to that in a second. But absolutely true. You are all seasoned technical leaders. Know what you want and get after it. You don't need to be desperate here. Number 9. Redoing your resume for every single job. It's for the same reason. It screams desperation. I want this job so much. I will custom tailor it for this job. Yes, I'll do this. Yes, I'll do that. No, you won't. Here's what I want. Here's what I'm great at. This is my history. This can also indicate that you're not sure what you want yet. Like maybe it's this kind of job or maybe it's that kind of job. Decide what you want first. Clarity is always step one. So if you're custom tailoring your resume to every single job you're applying to, that means you need to not pass go, not collect $200, but go back to start and get clarity. What do you want? What do you really want? Now, custom tailoring a cover letter or like an initial introduction letter. Yeah, absolutely. Because there you want to talk about why that company. For sure. That's going to get custom tailored, not your resume. Number 10, adding a summary with boilerplate language like seasoned technical or seasoned engineering leader. I've seen this a lot. People front and center at the top of their resume have a block of boilerplate text that has the words seasoned engineering leader, seasoned technical leader. If you have it right now, delete it. If you're a client who's about to submit a resume who has a block like that, delete it. It's laziness. Because it does not show the real you. It shows that you're just trying to meet the applicant tracking system criteria. It shows that you're just a boilerplate leader and you're not. We want the real you to shine in your resume. Be vulnerable. Be authentic. Dare to show your true soul in your resume. Now, we do encourage clients to have like a mission statement or a value statement up front on their resume to sort of to frame it all and to say like, look, this is the kind of leader I am and this is the kind of outcomes I want to create. And we take our time with our clients to craft and custom tailor that. So I can't give you like, here's what you put, because I don't know you, right? So it usually takes about a week or two of working with clients before we're able to come up with that statement, because they do the inner work of this is who I am, this is what I really want. And then we help them with coming up with the language of that mission statement, of that value statement. So yes, we do want a mission or value statement, a short one up front in the resume, but you have to do the inner work and the language sleuthing in order to come up with a really good one. Because ultimately your resume is a marketing tool. And so sometimes it helps someone who knows marketing, and we do here at the People Stack, so we're able to help our clients do that, to really come up with the correct language for it. But if you have a block of text in your resume right now that includes the words seasoned engineering leader or something like that, delete it. Of course you're a seasoned engineering leader or a seasoned technical leader. They know that already. Don't waste valuable real estate on telling them things that they already know. Again, you're optimizing this for a human, not the applicant tracking systems. All right. What I want you to do now, what I encourage you to do, what I challenge you to do right now is for yourself, write down what were your key distinctions, your key learnings, your key aha points from this podcast. I want you to write them down for yourself in a journal, on a sticky note, whatever it is. And then below those distinctions, I want you to write your commitments, action steps. What are your next action steps? Maybe it's brush up your resume, right? Maybe it's, you know, rewrite some of the bullet points. Maybe it's delete that block of skills and replace it with a few really powerful bullet points. I want you to capture that so that this doesn't just kind of wither away into the ether and become nothing. I want you to really get something out of this. And for those of you who want more help, not just with your resume, we're not technically resume writers here at the People Stack, because that's not only what we do. It's part of what you do, of what we do. If listening to this has helped you to realize that you need help not just with your resume, but with your whole career strategy, of the way that you look at and think about who you are as a technical leader and how you want to upgrade your career. If you realize you need more help and you want to find out if it's a fit to work together, then the best way to do that is to book a call with us. It's all about the conversations. Robots don't make decisions here at the People Stack. So the best way to find out if it's a fit to work together is to book a call with us, thepeoplestack.com/book. thepeoplestack.com/BOOK. We'll have an honest, heart-to-heart conversation. You'll talk with one of my team members and find out what's not working in your career right now. Where do you want to go? And if it is a fit to work together, we'll talk about this is what it would look like to work together. And then it's your decision. There's no pressure. It's not a traditional sales call. You're going to get a ton of clarity on this call, regardless of whether we end up working together or not, because it's our mission. It's our mission, our vision at the People Stack to help as many technical leaders as possible to create your dream career. So if you want to create your dream career, then we want to help you. So if you want to find out if it's a fit to work together and you're ready to get massive career clarity, book that career clarity session right now, thepeoplestack.com/book. All right, folks, I know that the resume that you invite, the advice that you receive, most of it's well-meaning. I'm not making anybody wrong here. I'm not like judging anyone or making anybody evil by giving this advice. It's often very well-meaning, but we as we always like to do with the People Stack, want to dig beneath the surface of, all right, what strategy is this tactic unveiling? And is it actually a good, sustainable, powerful strategy? And as I've demonstrated, a lot of the tactics that people recommend, when you do a little bit of digging, the strategy underneath it is not a good foundation. So that is a great thing to do in all of your life, is to not go tactical first, go strategic, and actually, before you even go strategic, ask yourself, what's my mindset? What do I want? So that's really, really important to do, whether we're talking about resume building, building your dream career, or living life to the fullest. What do I want? What's my mindset? Then strategy, then tactics. All right, folks, take care. Big hugs. Talk to you soon.
And that wraps up another episode of the People Stack podcast. Thanks for listening and for supporting our mission. We are all helping to positively transform the tech world, one tech leader at a time. I have so much gratitude for all of you, for our badass clients, our loyal listeners, every one of you who we've worked with. And I have to give a special shout out to my husband, Rob Allen. He's my co-CEO, the love of my life, PeopleStack Client Zero, and it is such a fun ride, finding new, ridiculously unreasonable levels of prosperity, joy, and fun with him every single day. And a quick thank you to Ketza for creating the catchy, inspiring theme music that we get to use in our podcast. We love each and every one of you. Big, big hugs. Aloha and mahalo.